Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Lewis, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost by a score of 114-102 against the Chicago Bulls. I'll keep it real simple for you right now. The only meaningful thing to come out of this game is that the Raptors have secured the 7th best lottery position heading into next year's draft. This win seals it for the Raptors, so hopefully, in the last two games here, where the Raptors play Dallas on Friday and they play Indiana on Sunday, hopefully one of these two games you get to see Kyle one more time. You get to see some of these other guys before they head off for the summer and things like this. But that is the only meaningful thing to come out of this game. And this game was pretty important in that sense because Chicago was one of those teams that may have slipped all the way down or whatever. I don't know, to be honest. But yeah, the Raptors are the 7th best lottery odds. They worked very hard for it. We also worked very hard watching a lot of these very tough-to-watch games. To get to this point, that is the most relevant thing to come out of this game. Aside from that, let me just read you the players that played in tonight's game. Yuta Watanabe, Stanley Johnson, Kem Birch, Malachi Flynn, Jalen Harris, Freddie Gillespie, Aaron Baines, DeAndre Bembry. That's it. And if you count it, that's 8 guys. The minimum to play a game, at least to start a game, is 7, I believe. And the Raptors hit 7 after 9 minutes when Yuta Watanabe twisted his ankle. It's the same ankle injury he had earlier this season that cost him a few weeks here and there. So that sucks. And especially because I thought Yuta was going to play, 47 minutes in this game based on the roster. But yeah, that was tough. Luckily, though, they got Aaron Baines back from a foot injury, so we got to see Aaron Baines once again. But also, they just needed that body because, again, otherwise they would have played with 6 people in the rotation. I don't know. Yeah, at some point, you might have to stop the game. In any case, though, it was, I obviously, didn't expect too much from this game. And, my only real wish for this specific game was just like, yo, can we not lose by 50 points? I don't want to see a headline that says the Bulls beat the Raptors by 50. Just keep it a regular loss. And that was a real concern because midway through the second quarter, the Bulls couldn't miss from 3. And they just kept getting back cuts over and over and over again. And they got a 20-point lead very easily. The Raptors obviously had no bench to even turn to. They were playing 2 center lineups with Freddie Gillespie and Aaron Baines. Then Aaron Baines and Kem Birch. Then Kem Birch and Freddie Gillespie. And I don't even blame Nick Nurse because, who else is he going to play? Like, literally the third best guard for the Raptors tonight would have been Mr. Nick Nurse himself. The guy who shot 50% from 3 in Northern Iowa. Back when Ronald Reagan was president, that's not true. That's the first Bush. Sorry, I don't think Nick is that old. But in any case, that's how tough it was. But the Raptors did not suffer that fate, and I'm very thankful to one man and one man only, that is Stanley Johnson, who, once again, at the end of the season, Stanley Johnson turned into a superstar. If you remember, last year, where the Raptors had a way better time, especially than regular season, the last game of the season, Game 72, they had the Denver Nuggets, and Stanley Johnson went off in that game as well. Him and Paul Watson, the two of those guys together, were like, you know, LeBron and D-Wade back with the Heat. And they had great games, but Stanley had a really great game. He also had a game winner the game before that as well. I remember being super hyped about that game. And today, I am about as equally as hyped, considering the fact that Stanley did it once again. I mean, listen to the thing with Stanley. You might have to grind and wait all season and be frustrated at some of the over-aggressive fouls or things like this. But, you know, eventually he will reward you at the very end. And, you know, if you are a diehard Pokemon fan, you know, the only comparison I have is, like, you know, this is like you train Magikarp until one day you have a Gyarados. And that one day with Gyarados was today with Stanley Johnson, where, you know, you pay like $1,000 or whatever from that Pokemon Team Rocket guy. And then you buy Magikarp, and then you got to, like, use Splash and Tackle and switch in and out to get, you know, Magikarp to level up. And that's kind of how it felt with Stanley all season. And then finally, you get this badass dragon of a performance at the end of the year, where 35, 10, and 5 with 3 steals, no turnovers. I mean, honestly, Stanley, he balled out. And I think he had a really great time with it. The teammates obviously had a great time with it. Whether it was the coaches, which obviously includes Fred. Fred is just now like a full-time coaching guy. To be honest, at this point, Fred has just taken over for Nate Bjorgren. Fred's really leaning into this thing. But no, all of his teammates were really rallying around Stanley. I mean, there were like a couple of possessions, you know, where the Raptors got stagnant on the half court. And they were like, all right, swing it to Stanley. Let him do his thing. And literally, nobody has ever said that since OVO Bounce. Or since he was in high school, I gotta think. Maybe in college, but probably in high school. And it was very fun to see Stanley cook. And I'm not even putting this down whatsoever. This guy was pulling things out of his bag that you didn't even know he had. Did you know he had a step back three? Because he hit a step back three in the third quarter. Did you know he had a post game? You know, he was bullying guys down there, getting himself to the free throw line. He had a turnaround jumper. He was driving to the basket and finishing through contact. I mean, it was amazing to watch. And, you know, there was a point where I think late in the game where Stanley hit a three, one of his 6 threes on the night. I might have doubled the season total. But anyway, Stanley hit a three at the end of the game, and the Bulls had to call timeout. It forced the Bulls into calling timeout, probably because Billy Donovan wanted to shame his club. But yeah, Stanley came back to the bench and he had his tongue out. And this is, you know, in the house that Michael Jordan built, literally the United Center. You have Stanley Johnson sticking the tongue out like MJ. It was great performance, honestly. And again, save the Raptors from a very lopsided scoreline, which is all I care about. You know, I don't expect wins. I just don't want to see a terrible headline. I don't want to be up here talking about how everything's terrible. No, instead, it's very positive to watch Stanley do what he did. And it was very fun to watch. He had a good post-game interview as well. Always a very thoughtful and insightful dude. And so that was fun. And aside from that, I mean, you know, it was tough at times. I think early on, the Raptors were carried in scoring by Jalen Harris. He had 11 points in the first quarter, and very quickly in the first quarter, he hit some threes, got to the rim a few times. I like his shiftiness, man. He's really quick. He's definitely got a scorer mentality, and he just seems kind of polished. I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised by how efficient he has been with the catch-and-shoot threes. Of course, we've seen him take, like, I don't know, 20, maybe? So, you know, there's going to be a lot of fluctuation in that small number of attempts, but Jalen just looks very smooth. Like, he looks very confident. He seems like he knows where to get a shot, which is a very important thing for a scorer. You got to know where your spots are and where you can get your shot off. And Jalen's done a good job with that. He's got some quickness in that front, gets downhill. He had one play in the third quarter where he drove, and then he sort of froze his man with a quick, you know, jump stop. And then he kind of, like, you know, pivoted to the side and sort of hopped to the middle. and got himself separation and shot the short jumper there. That was nice to watch. Very quick sort of lateral move, not just, you know, straight downhill, some changing it up a little bit. And I like Jalen's performance. I don't know why he didn't play in the fourth quarter. I mean, listen, there were only seven guys, and Jalen Harris still was definitely one of the best players on the night. So I was surprised he didn't play, but I thought Jalen gave them a nice performance. I thought, you know, Bembry came in and gave them what he could. He, you know, slashed to the basket, made some backdoor cuts of his own. Couldn't hit a three, although that's not really his game. And the Raptors just competed. I don't know, man. I mean, like, the Bulls just looked super disinterested. I mean, they're technically still alive in the play-in race, but, like, you know, I don't think they're going to make it, and they're not going to make it. Washington's going to beat Cleveland, and it's going to be all over for them. But, yeah, I mean, the Bulls just seem kind of pissed. And the Raptors came through with a pretty good effort. Like, they really got after it defensively. You know, a lot of sloppy moments. But especially in the second half, a lot of guys, you know, diving for loose balls, winning loose balls. Freddie Gillespie with three steals. Bembry with four steals. Stanley with three steals. The Raptors as a team, 15 steals. That's pretty good. And, you know, the Raptors got a lot of transition offense based on that. It wasn't enough to win. But, again, the point wasn't to win. The point was just to come out there and... you know, not lose anybody to injury. And, of course, they did lose Yuta to the ankle injury. Hopefully he's okay. I'd like to see Yuta a few more times before the season ends. But that was unfortunate. But in any case, though, it opens some opportunities. Again, I really have to say it's hard to evaluate this game because, well, for basketball reasons, it's hard to evaluate because there's very little space on the floor. You had two centers at all times. So, like, a guy like Flynn... how is he going to work pick and roll and get downhill into the paint when there's two guys standing in the paint? Like, there was, like, Freddie Gillespie and Aaron Baines on at the same time. That is a tough lineup to see. Like, it just doesn't make sense to watch that, and that was harsh. But, yeah, I mean, aside from that, I mean, it was... I don't know, man. It was just a tough watch. What can I say? You know, so it's hard to evaluate on that. And also it's hard to evaluate when Stanley had 35. Like, no disrespect to Stanley whatsoever. Like, at all. I'm a big fan of the guy. But if Stanley's scoring 35, there's got to be some sort of a false element to the game itself. And, you know, the Bulls... I mean, the last time the Raptors played the Bulls, Chris Boucher had 38 and 19. So, you know, this is, you know, not the only time this has happened to the Chicago this year, but it was a little hard to evaluate on that front, which has been kind of my annoyance with some of these games. I didn't mind any of them until the last game against the Grizzlies and this one, and I guess the other Clipper game as well, where it's just like, I don't know what to take from this because guys were in such new positions. And what I mean by that is some of the plays, I was really... taking a close look at some of the plays the Raptors were calling after timeouts. And one play they ran was to get the ball to Freddie Gillespie in the post and then to have Aaron Baines come off a screen and hit a three at the top. Just think about that. I mean, execution-wise, it was fine. And Baines got an open look. He bricked it because, you know, but, like, just think about that, right? What are you evaluating there? What are you evaluating there? You know, I think, you know, there was a play where they were getting Yuta Watanabe driving downhill off, like, a double screen, getting a turn downhill with the pass from the opposite wing. And then they had, like, two centers, like, in the paint. The Raptors had two centers on the floor. So Yuta was just driving into, like, 4-1 traffic at 5 p.m. And, like, it was disgusting. Like, he just had to throw up a shot because, like, there's no space whatsoever. So, like, it's hard to evaluate the execution on that front. Defensively, I think maybe it's a little bit easier to execute. And on that front, I thought most of the guys did their best defensively. I thought, obviously, losing Yuta really hurts because he was probably going to be a big part of, you know, what the Raptors are going to do defensively. Last game the Raptors played against Chicago, Yuta had the box and one, the one assignment, the number one assignment on Zach LaVine. So, you know, obviously, he probably would have done a lot defensively in this game. He was out, and so the Raptors had to rely on other guys. And I like their compete overall. The only small nitpicks, I would say, are, like, Freddie Gillespie seemed kind of lost playing power forward, which, yeah, he's not a power forward. Again, I don't know what you're assessing necessarily when you put him on Markkanen, and, you know, the pick and roll comes, and his instincts are to pull towards the middle, and Markkanen's in the corner. Yeah, Markkanen is going to get an open three. And, you know, it's tough to evaluate on that front. But, yeah, I thought Gillespie was out of position a few times. And then Jalen Harris, he seems to get a pretty bad whistle. You know, and looked into the numbers, it wasn't even like he picked up that many fouls so far. It's just, I feel like the ones that I've seen him pick up, they're on, like, nothing. They're like ghost fouls. And so that was annoying to watch. But, you know, I think overall the Raptors competed defensively. They executed the game plan well. Zach LaVine didn't really go off the way we know Zach can. 24 points for Zach in 35 minutes. He's still coming off the COVID. So, I mean, I'm curious to see sort of what he's doing. But, you know, it wasn't really that hurt the Raptors. It was really more the Bulls' overall ball movement. And I think the Raptors had a pretty good game plan against Nick Vucevic, which Ken Birch, being a former Magic teammate with Vuce for like 4 or 5 years, obviously knows his game pretty well and did a pretty good job guarding Vuce. I gotta say, like, he didn't give up any ground, didn't get bullied in the post. And I've seen Kem like struggle a little bit with some of these heavier centers. Like, I thought he had a hard time with like the Laker game with Drummond or all these other guys, and thought in the Clipper games he struggled with Zubac in particular. But Vucevic isn't the same kind of guys as those guys. Those guys kind of roll and then they're heavy, so to stop the momentum is tough. Vucevic is mostly a pick and pop guy, and then also like a low post, you know, turnaround jumper kind of guy. There's a lot of finesse in that game. And Kem, obviously being close teammates with him, knows Vuce's moves. But he did a really good job guarding Vuce. Not even that much help required as well, especially because Vuce is very happy to settle with a jumper. I mean, you see a big man take 19 shots with zero free throws. That's not something you want to pay 2 first-round picks and Wendell Carter for. But in any case, Chicago did that, and now they're not even in the playoffs. That's kind of sad, to be honest. But in any case, though, the Raptors, you know, they played the game. They played a game. I don't know what else to really say from this one. I know there's only 15 minutes into the podcast. Usually they go about half an hour. I don't really know what else to say. So I'm just going to tell you a couple of things that came out of the post game. You know, Stanley gave a post game, which is great. Stanley's always very, very good quote. Very thoughtful dude. So listen to that. To be honest, you know, this is probably Stanley's last media appearance before, you know, the Raptors close up shop. Obviously, their season ends on Sunday, and then they'll have players speaking and things like that, whatever, right? But I think, you know, this is probably going to be Stanley's last time speaking, and it was great to sort of hear his perspective on the season. I think every time you hear him speak, and every time you sort of, it sort of confirms, like, the same impression that you get from him, which is like, yes, we know that he's not really a consistent offensive player on any level, right? His usage rate is like among the lowest on the team. It's like 11%. That's like Pat McCaw levels. And I think the overall plus minus numbers don't do Stanley Johnson any, you know, favors. I think him and Aaron Baines are the two lows on the team. So you might say, well, that's pretty telling. And it probably is, but I will have to say in Stanley's case that like he has done a pretty good job defensively this year. You know, the Raptors had to lean on Stanley more, and we've seen Stanley take up shifts against some really tough guys. Like, I'm not even kidding. The Raptors used Stanley Johnson on LeBron, on Kawhi, which we just saw last week. They used him on Ben Simmons. They used him on, you know, Jason Tatum, Brandon Ingram. They used him on Luka Doncic. That game, remember, Doncic elbowed, you know, Stanley and, you know, and got a tech for it. That was one of, like, I don't know, Luka Doncic is like 15 techs this year. Again, he's just been really bratty this year, Luka has. But in any case, Stanley has been very good defensively in some very, very tough matchups. You know, the best I'll say is he's held his own. He's made those guys really work. And if you look at the positional defensive versatility index and things like this, where, you know, people have like, you know, these estimates, Stanley's up there with OG and Pascal Siakam as some of the most versatile defenders in the league, which you might say, well, maybe that's just part of the Raptors system, and I would agree with you. But at the same time, we've seen Stanley play small ball center, we've seen him guard point guards, and everything in between. There was that game in Charlotte where the Raptors subbed in Stanley and he forced 2 air balls at the end to secure the win. You know, so Stanley honestly has had his moments this year. Is that enough to secure another roster spot for the Raptors? I don't really know, but I think he's a guy that people gravitate towards. He seems really friendly. He seems to know a lot of dudes. And he seems to have a pretty great aura about him. I don't know. This is where we're really at the end of the season. We're talking about people's auras. But, I've enjoyed some parts of the Stanley Johnson experience. Of course, tonight was the best part of it. what else from this game? Jalen Harris. So he's from Dallas. So he's the Raptors are going to Dallas. He's got some family in attendance tomorrow, so that's going to be very fun for him personally. He's going to have a great chance to play a lot of these minutes, so that's always, you know, exciting for him and his family. He said he was a big Mavs fan growing up, and to hear a 22-year-old talk about growing up is making me feel mad old. So I apologize to Alex for all the times I made him feel old intentionally. You know, he was a big Mavs fan. Like, obviously, he was a, you know, he said he was watching them like the Nash, Finley, Dirk season. So that's like 2004, 2005. Like the, you know, he was a real diehard Mavs fan. In any case, though, like Jalen, I think he's shown what he can do, which is score. I think there are still times where he turns the ball over. But I think, you know, for the most part, he's a rookie. And like most rookies, he's going to be told to do some rookie duties. And I asked him about that. It's probably the last time we speak to Jalen this season as well. So, you know, I asked him about rookie duties and stuff like that. So, you know, apparently guys have been basically using him like an Uber Eats driver. Or I guess like a DoorDash driver. I'm sorry. I'm going to take that back. I don't use Uber Eats. I only use DoorDash. Use the promo code ROE or Raptors, I think, right now. But in any case, yeah, I mean, they're making them go get coffee, you know, shoes. Kyle's making go get some shoes. Epsom salts. I don't know. I mean, who's requesting Epsom salts? I don't know. But in any case, if you haven't done it, take a salt bath. It's very relaxing. But yeah, I mean, it's very fun to sort of see these guys. I think there's, you know, honestly, the season has been kind of disappointing from the results perspective, but it seems like the guys are still. There's still the same camaraderie happening behind the scenes, and you just want that to be preserved. I think that's part of team culture. It really is, and that's probably what a lot of fans gravitate towards. We are at 20 minutes in the episode now, so that's almost appropriate for me to go to 3 stars. But I will have to say one last thing about Freddie Gillespie, which, you know, Nick Nurse... So Freddie was the only Raptor not to... Well, I guess Utah, but Utah fouled out or got hurt. So, you know, out of the guys who played regularly, Freddie was the guy who didn't get a basket. And so Nick used the timeout late in the game. With 30 seconds left, the Raptors are clearly going to lose. But they called the timeout to run a play. And they got the ball to Freddie in the post. It's the JV play where you sort of fake the dribble handoff, but then you keep the ball and you try to drive to the basket. Raptors have run it quite a few times. I think JV got a game winner against the Bucks that way with a huge dunk. It was a game winner or he forced overtime. I don't know. It's the one where Serge Ibaka then like put him in a chokehold right afterwards as a celebration for some reason. And JV's head was super red. In any case, yeah, they ran the play for Freddie. He didn't score on the keeper play, but then he got the offensive rebound and he got the putback and he scored there. You know, I think honestly, it was a bit of a watershed moment in terms of just like, I remember very distinctly the Bulls doing this. I think this is the game where last season in Scotiabank in February, Terrence Davis had 30-something points, and that was a career high for him at that time. And yeah, I mean, late in the game, Chicago called a timeout with Jim Boylan just to run a play, and I think, you know, some of the players were upset with him. You know, it's exactly the same thing. The Raptors were the Bulls in that situation. The Bulls were the Raptors in this situation. But I did like how the Raptors responded to it. I think, look, they're embracing this opportunity as a chance to learn. And that was a play where the Raptors didn't need to do it. Nick could have just ran the timeout, all this other stuff. They could have just, whatever, you know, finished at 100. Doesn't make it a difference. But I think even these small things do really add up. I think if you are looking for small moments of development, that's one of them. And it's not even about if he makes a shot or not, if he has a basket on the end of the night or not. It, you know, it's not like you know, the YMCA or whatever. You don't need to, you know, make guys feel good necessarily for the sake of it. But you know, just execute the play. I mean, something very basic like that, right? Can you execute the play? And the Raptors execute the play. So we are at 22 minutes in the podcast, which is now time for me to tell you the 3 stars from this game. First, obviously, Stanley Johnson. I mean, come on. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 43 minutes, 12 of 22 from the field. Wow, I mean, that's unbelievable. Honestly, I'm going to look this up to see if Stanley has had months this season where he hasn't taken 22 shots, because he's not a guy that you would consider high usage at any rate, but he took 22 shots tonight. Honestly, it felt like he should have taken more, quite honestly, to me, because the Raptors needed it. Like, the Raptors needed every one of those baskets. So in the month of April, Stanley... Okay, April's not a good example. April, he was a high usage month for him. Let's see. Oh, January. Okay, January, he played quite a few games. He had one attempt, two. So that's 4, 5, 10, 13, 15, 18, 19, 20. This is unfortunate. Okay, he got to 24 by the end of the month. Okay, that's not bad. Well, in any case, yeah, it's close to a month's worth of shots for him, and he did really well. Obviously, scored in a variety of ways, and yeah, this has been a hard podcast to execute. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Second star from this game, I'm gonna go with Bembry. Bembry has some nice moments. You know, I think he had a breakaway dunk, did a double pump, two-handed reverse, a dunk that took him so far ahead of the play that, you know, because he landed, but then his momentum, because he got up so high and in such an acrobatic way that he had to sort of stumble and he kind of went behind the basket. And then he was behind the play, which, you know, I would normally care about, except that it was an awesome dunk and I'm not a cop. But yeah, I mean, Bembry was just good throughout the game. I mean, he made a number of steals. From one play, he sort of, you know, stole the pass and then immediately threw a hit-ahead pass to Malachi, you know, breaking on transition. To be honest, it's like when you play FIFA and you tackle a guy and then you just hit the Y button, or the triangle button, and you just play the pass through, the through pass. Bembry had a number of nice moments. To be honest, I think Bembry should be back next season. He's just very solid. Like, I really enjoyed him in the Pat McCall role, and he's done a pretty good job with it. 12.6 assists, 4 steals, a block, 2 rebounds. You know, occasionally he'll drive inside and create something for himself. He's been able to hit shots at very awkward leaning angles, and that's good because he needs to be a slasher. Obviously, the three-point shot is not the main element in his game. And then your third star from this one, I'm going to give it to Jalen Harris, 17 points, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. You know, I'm not sure why he didn't play in the fourth quarter. If I had more than one question that allowed to ask Nick Nurse, I would have asked him that question, but unfortunately it was only given one. But yeah, I mean, Jalen was pretty effective in his scoring, especially early on. If the game went on, it wasn't like he was creating every single time. But I like his quickness, I like his shiftiness, and I'm hoping for him to have a great game tomorrow in Dallas in front of his family. Again, this is where we're at in the season. We're just hoping for vibes at this point. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go once again to Lauri Markkanen. 20.7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, plus 15 in 25 minutes, super wet from 3. And yeah, listen, I don't know where he's going to go in free agency, but if he comes to Toronto, I would not be upset. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And, you know, if you watched this game, congratulations. You were witnessing basically the repeat of Stanley Johnson's infamous 87-point OVO game. And yeah, thank you for watching, sincerely. The Raptors will play Dallas tomorrow, so look out for another pod tomorrow. And yeah, watch Run It Back. That's out. Me and Alex, you know, speaking of good vibes, that's, I mean, come on. Undeniable. Me and Alex got good vibes. So watch Run It Back. And yeah, thanks everyone for watching. Subscribe to the Raptors Reaction Newsletter. And I'll be back tomorrow. Wow, we've made it to 27 minutes. This is a real, real impressive feat. So thanks everyone for listening, sincerely.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.